Welcome to Expert Second Opinion, Current and Future Roles of Immunotherapy and Targeted Therapy in the Management of Advanced Gastroesophageal Cancers. These are excerpts from a meeting we had January 9th at the GI ASCO meeting in San Francisco. The meeting was moderated by Dr. Sam Klempner from the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, and faculty members included Drs. Jaffer Ajani from the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Dr. Rutika Mehta from the Weill Cornell Medical Center in New York City, and Dr. John Strickler from the Duke University in Durham, North Carolina. In the presentations of the meeting, first, Dr. Ajani talked about her two targeted approaches to advanced GE cancers. Then Dr. Strickler talked about targeting Claudin 18.2. Dr. Mehta talked about immunotherapy strategies in these patients. And Dr. Klempner finished up with a talk on other novel agents and strategies being considered in patients with these tumors. This is the fourth of our four-part series focusing on cases and questions submitted in our survey of community-based general medical oncologists. We continue with the discussion as Dr. Klempner posed a query to Dr. Ajani.
Jaffer, I'm going to ask you something that someone wrote in, which is, we didn't really touch on preferred approach for MSI-high newly diagnosed patients, stage 4. Mm-hmm. Let's assume they're HER2 negative and Claudin positive. You can answer if they're Claudin positive or negative, if it would change anything. But what is your go-to for frontline MSI-high patients?
Yeah. So again, you know, just to remind everybody, you have to make sure that they can tolerate immunotherapy. And we use Nivo plus Ipi in almost every patient who can handle that, because the best results with that. You don't use chemotherapy, and we have data, and I think you wrote a beautiful review not too long ago that the response rate is high, sustained response rates, including in metastatic setting, there can be complete pathologic response. So the other option will be to use Pembro or Tislay or Nivo alone.
Yeah. Rutika, I'm going to ask you the same question, but also ask you, how long do you treat those patients if they are doing great?
Yeah, so if they've had a complete response to treatment, then you can always argue to, you know, stop treatment after 2 years. But if they still have residual disease, and again, prove it on biopsy, then I would try to extend it beyond the 2 years time point, provided that I don't get a pushback from payer.
John, I'm going to ask you sort of variation on the same question, because I think it's an important practical point. But when you start someone on FOLFOX and, let's say, Nivo, do you do a pre-specified number or duration of doses of FOLFOX, or do you treat to drops in platelets or neuropathy before you drop the oxaliplatin? And then what is your maintenance? Is it 5-FU Nivo? Is it Nivo? Is it individualized?
Yeah, so if you look at the data from our control arms of these randomized phase 3 studies and look at how the experimental arms are doing, what we're seeing are people are living longer and longer, right? So when the median OS is less than a year, things like neuropathy become less of a concern. But if people are going to live 2, even up to 3 years with metastatic disease, symptomatic peripheral neuropathy is a significant quality of life concern. So for me, I'm looking at that patient's care continuum, not just what they're on in first line, but what their life is going to look like a year later. When you consider that, I think that most of the benefit you get from oxaliplatin is in those first 6 to 8 cycles. So for me, I am rapidly tapering off the oxaliplatin after typically 6 to 8 cycles to prevent that patient from having major quality of life implications from the oxali. I usually will keep the 5-FU going because it rarely causes significant toxicity together with that biologic. And then when I get out to month 6, if that patient still has excellent disease control, I'm thinking about even dropping that 5-FU, because carrying around that pump for 2 days is nobody's idea of a good time. So if I think I can get away with it, I'll try to go down to just the biologic at month 6 and see how long I can stretch that. Two advantages. Number one, that patient gets a better quality of life as they're off all cytotoxics. The other advantages. I can always bring the cytotoxic back in the future because I haven't burnt a bridge. So that's my own approach. I don't know what you all do, but that's how I approach it.
Jaffer, we got a minute. So is your approach similar? Same question.
Yeah, I would do the similar thing, yes.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. And I often will switch the patients to monthly Nevo or something if
they're really doing
well getting in there. Yeah, I think so. All right, Rudika, you're going to get this one, which is a 59-year-old guy with diabetes and gastric cancer, PD-L1 positive. Also, in this case, we introduced the TMB. TMB is, let's say, 10. Let's say it was 20, or let's say it's 50. How much do you care? And they refuse chemo. So highly PD-L1 positive, TMB high. Do you feel comfortable with single-agent checkpoint?
With a 59-year-old, probably not. I would kind of quote the data, understand what are some of the barriers to, you know, taking chemotherapy. But again, quote the data that the best data we have is still in with combination with chemotherapy. And listen until, you know, the MMR comes back to be deficient, then probably a doublet immunotherapy like Jaffer mentioned. But TMB is kind of losing its importance, I would say, especially in the GI space and more and more. There's more and more data to now suggest that TMB cutoff of 10 really does not hold for across GI cancers.
And Jaffer, there's a question, the write-in question that I'm going to come to you, which is about, you know, within the Zolbe data in the Spotlight and Glow, we did see some albumin drops over time and some potential gastritis. Mm-hmm. Do you have any specific suggestions for managing this and when you see it?
No, I think gastritis, there is really no good evidence. We have done biopsies in several patients. It's eosinophilic infiltration, and it's a patchy erythematous area. Hardly any ulceration, no perforation so far, and there is no treatment. My pharmacist wants to give Benadryl, orally liquid Benadryl, at the end of the day, so I don't know. But the other question was...
About the hypoalbuminemia.
Yeah. So that is reported in the phase 3 studies, and it's also reported in other studies. I think this patient population, as we all know, is nutritionally deprived and malnourished, and you add, you know, 3-4 therapeutic agents is probably shocking the system. And it may not be directly related to zolbetuximab.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's something we've seen with other claudin drugs, too. It drops out in the, you know, AZD0901 trials and some of the other naked antibodies as well.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our faculty, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for Expert Second Opinion, Current and Future Roles of Immunotherapy and Targeted Treatment in the Management of Advanced Gastroesophageal Cancers.